I'd ask you to turn with me this evening to the Gospel according to Matthew chapter 15. And the first part of verse 23 is where we shall begin. He answered her not a word. And our subject this evening is when the Lord is silent toward us. Or at least that is where I want to begin. Because here is a woman who is commended for the greatness of her faith. That contrasts with the comment of the Lord Jesus Christ in the previous chapter regarding Peter, where he is upbraided for his little faith. This woman's faith was great because in the circumstances in which she came to the Lord, she displayed remarkable conviction and remarkable persistence, and she obtained a wonderful blessing. And so she is an encouragement to us. But how discouraging the conduct of the Lord Jesus appears to be toward this woman. Firstly, here in verse 23, he answered her not a word. Then in verse 24, he essentially says to his disciples in the hearing of this needy lady, she is outside my remit as a prophet to the people of Israel. And then in the next, in verse 26, he implies that she is no more than a dog. Now the starting point, of course, must be the full revelation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Is he a hard, indifferent, uncaring, despising Saviour? By no means. He is full of compassion and grace. One who cried out, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Who said to those who were burdened and labouring, come unto me, all that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He is the Saviour who came to bind up the brokenhearted, who displayed throughout his ministry remarkable kindness and power towards wretched and needy souls. Then why such apparent harshness here to this woman who cries unto him in such need? We need to look at her circumstances, and then we need to look at how the Lord deals with her. And I think as we come through this narrative, we shall see that it was with wisdom and with purpose that the Lord dealt with her as he did. And it may well instruct us. We may feel this evening discouraged. I've called out to the Lord, we may say. I've prayed to him, and he appears to be as silent towards me as he was toward this woman when he answered her not a word. Well, he's come here to the borders, the coasts of Tyre and Sidon. And the people of Tyre and Sidon, spiritually speaking, religiously speaking, were pagans. They were a heathen culture in taste, in view, in habit, in attitude to the living God. And we are told here in verse 22, behold, look, take note, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts. Matthew is writing particularly for a Jewish readership. And he is inviting us as we read this to take note of this quite remarkable and unusual circumstance, a phenomenon, a woman of Canaan, someone of this stock that was ignorant of the true God in large measure, depraved in their idolatrous practices and superstitions, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts. We could say here, why did Christ come to the borders of Tyre and Sidon? It was to come where he might be found by this needy woman, he who knows the hearts of all, knew that she needed him, and therefore he came near to her doors. And so Christ visits the borders of our society. He will be preached. He's not here physically, of course, but he will be preached that needy souls may come out of our darkened society unto him and call upon him and obtain from him great blessing. Are you like this woman? Part of this world, steeped in its thinking and its depravity and its foolish tastes and habits and hostility and indifference to the true God of the Bible. We're told this woman came out of the same coasts. Now, of course, that means physically speaking, primarily. But there's a picture here. She came out of those coasts, those borders, to the Saviour, where he was. And you and I, we need to come out of this world. We need to come to the Saviour as he is preached to us, and look to him and call upon him. What burdens we bear, friends, only to find that there is no deliverance in this world. Doubtless this woman of Canaan had proved the impotence of her own gods or the gods of her people to do anything for her in her desperate need. Her daughter was vexed by a devil. These things happened in those days by the mercy of God. Since the triumph of Christ at Calvary, these things do not happen in the way that they did then. I don't want to go into that, save to say that she was in great need, and she was at the end of all hope in her own culture and society, and she was convinced that it was only Christ who could help. And so she comes out of her society. In a way, she renounces her hopes and she comes to Christ. You and I must do the same if we would obtain blessing from him. Are you ready to come out and away from this world, its thinking, its priorities, its tastes, its habits, and say, from now on, I look only to the Lord, to have his blessing, to have his touch and his interference in my life is what I desire above everything else. We come to him with the burden of our guilt. This world can never truly rid us of a guilty conscience. It may suppress that guilt. It may seek to drown it by inebriating us with its pleasure and its entertainment. But this world can never truly give a deep and lasting peace of conscience. This world can never give us an assurance of hope beyond the grave. This world has no power to renew our lives and change our character and fit us for heaven. Only the Lord can do that. This woman was persuaded that only Christ could help her in her need. Are you persuaded? Because she was persuaded, then she came to him really in an exemplary way. There's much to commend her here. Firstly, we see that she approached the Lord reverently. She says in verse 22, "Have mercy on me, O Lord." She senses his greatness as the prophet of Israel. And every one of us, if we would obtain anything from the Lord, then we must come before him reverently. If we come casually, if we come without a true sense of his great kingship and heavenly nobility, then we cannot truly expect that the Lord will hear us. She came with reverence. We must come and say, "Oh Lord, I acknowledge that I am a mere creature of time and earth. I am in a body of clay and dust, but I come to thee, the eternal God, the only one who can truly meet my deepest needs. That's the path. It must be a reverent approach, and she came in that way. She also came having surprising understanding of who the Lord Jesus was. Thou son of David. This is truly Jewish language through the lips of a Canaanite, an outsider to Israel. But she recognized the Saviour. Perhaps this is something that Matthew was keen to draw attention to when he said, look, behold, a Canaanite that uses the language of faith, the son of David. This was a title that described him as the Saviour, the Messiah, promised by the Old Testament prophets. He was to be in David's line. He was to be in David's nature in many ways, resembling David's glorious character as the shepherd king of Israel. And for a Canaanite to recognize this showed that she had remarkable faith and understanding in the person of the Saviour. Have you got that? Do we come this evening seeking the Lord's touch and blessing and help in our lives, but we come with knowledge, with understanding, recognizing that we come to that one appointed from all eternity to be the Saviour of sinners, the great deliverer of our souls from the ruin of the fall. And then we see that she came on the basis of mercy alone. This is so vital, friends. This is where so many never obtain the blessing of salvation, because they do not come understanding that it is all of mercy. What do we mean by mercy? It means pity for those who have no merit, no desert themselves. And this woman came in that sense here in verse 22. Have mercy upon me. I lay no claim upon the Lord. I have not come with a pot of gold. I have not come with pedigree as a sheep in Israel. I come as an outsider with no desert whatsoever. Lord, have mercy upon me. She didn't plead that she was a good person. She didn't in any way suggest that she was better than the rest of the people of Tyre and Sidon. She came simply making application on the grounds of God's merciful nature. And that's how you and I must find, apply for the forgiveness of our sins. If you're looking around in your heart this evening for some grounds by which you think you can come to God and say, Lord, surely you can forgive me because I've got an ounce of goodness in me, because I have over the years done a few things that are commendable. Now cast these things away. Come as this woman did, pleading no merit of her own, only the mercy of God and of Christ towards her. And the fourth thing we see that we can commend her for here is that she was in earnest in her seeking. She cried unto him. She didn't just say, oh, by the way, Lord, if you could consider me, I've got a needy daughter. And when the Lord did not respond, she just said, oh, well, nothing I can do. No, she came in earnest. Are you a half-hearted seeker? So often we are. Perhaps for years, many of us here who've become Christians, we did seek the Lord in a way, but it was half-hearted. And there was no more resolve about our prayers than the resolve of a tortoise in the midday sun. There was a languidity to the way that we addressed our spiritual needs. But this woman was so different. She was in earnest. She cried unto him. And she cried with such urgency that it irritated the disciples. They're not to be commended, of course. But it's clear from verse 23 that his disciples were annoyed. And they plead with him, saying, "Send her away, for she crieth after us." They did give her a little ground for hope. Because if you read the following verse, it's clear that what they meant is, don't just dismiss her and send her packing without giving a favourable answer. Lord, deal with her. She wants your help. You're well able to cast the devil out of her daughter. Just get on with it so that she stops crying after us. But the Lord wouldn't. Well, we have to ask then, despite the violence with which this woman laid siege to the Lord for help, why did he answer her not a word? Well, as the narrative unfolds, it's clear that he wanted to prove her and then display the wonderful nature of her faith. Why is the Lord silent to our prayers? So often when we are seeking him, he does not instantly give to us a sense of peace and forgiveness. He proves us. Is this seeker sincere? Have they got a real burden for their sin and guilt? Are they really ready to leave the world? Are they really earnest and concerned to become a true disciple? The Lord was silent. And the Lord may be silent to you and to me when we seek him. There are many, you see, who will pray to the Lord when they are in great need. If they can beg a blessing from the Lord, then they will. If through a brief prayer they can gain some assistance from heaven, then it's worth a punt. But the Lord rarely hears such prayers. If trouble breaks out, or sickness, or fear of death, or some alarming circumstance, then many will cry out to the Lord and say, "Lord, help me. I'll never go back to my old life. From this point on, if only you will help me and deliver me, then I'm ready to be a follower." But the Lord will often prove such seekers. And he may be proving one of us here this evening. Are you seeking him in earnest? Or are you crying to Christ because at the moment your conscience deeply disturbs you? Some sin haunts you. A sense of the reality of eternity and hell itself has so alarmed you that you're crying out. But if daybreak should dawn in your life and the sun begin to shine upon your circumstances again, then will all your desire for Christ's help dry up like the dew in the morning? We need to be earnest, and sometimes the Lord will be silent, not to discourage, but to prove our sincerity. Press on, friends. We see that this woman here was discouraged a second time because the Lord spoke seemingly discouraging words concerning her to his disciples. Look at verse 24. They said, "Send her away. Give her what she asks for." But he said, "I am not sent, but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel." The Lord is not referring here to his great saving mission, to die at Calvary's cross for people from every nation and kindred and colour and background. But he is referring to his earthly ministry. He came to his own, and his own received him not. He came to the Jewish nation because it was that nation that God had promised the Saviour to. And whilst on earth, he largely restricted his preaching and his teaching and his miracles to that privileged nation. And he is referring to that here. But it could have been so discouraging to this needy lady who came to him for his help and for his mercy. He was virtually declaring to her his sovereignty and his election, Well, you're not one of the people of Israel. You're not one of the chosen ones. You're an outsider. I have no remit to help you. She could have been so easily discouraged by these words. And there are times when we can be discouraged when we think of what the scripture says about being chosen of God, being elected. And we think, well, if I'm not one of God's chosen ones, then there will be no mercy for me, no help for me. Is the Lord silent to my prayers because I'm outside the bounds of his purpose of salvation? Well, look at the way this woman responded to these discouraging words of Christ. And let that be an encouragement to us all. Then, on the basis of these words echoing in her ears, then came she and worshipped him, saying, Lord, help me. I may not understand your words, she says. I fully accept that you have come to the people of Israel. And though I may have no real rights or claims as an outsider, yet I worship thee, Lord. And I say, Lord, help me. This is the way to deal with our doubts and our discouragements. Not to be put off. Think of the Saviour in all that he has said, in all that he has promised, in all the invitations he gives to souls like us. And when there are things that we begin to not understand or figure out, then come to him and worship him. This is not the language of pride, is it? It's not the language of rebellion or conceit. There are some who, when they hear the teaching of Christ or of the Bible, they say, I cannot respect such a saviour. A saviour who preaches hell. A saviour who warns of judgment. A saviour that claims absolute sovereignty over the standards of my life. I'm not prepared to accept such a saviour. But this woman didn't have that spirit about her at all. Even when the Lord uttered what appeared to be very discouraging words, she simply casts herself at his feet and says, Lord, help me. What an example she is to us if we seek the Lord and we are tempted to discouragement. Come to the feet of Christ and lay yourself there and appeal to him for mercy. But the Lord is not done with her yet. He then turns and says unto her, it is not fitting to take the children's bread and cast it to dogs. The children, of course, is a reference to the people of Israel. They were God's children. They were part of the family of God. She was an outsider, and in that respect, she was like a dog. The dog may come into the house. The little dogs referred to here did. But they didn't have any rights or entitlements. The children could expect that the household would care for them and look after them, but not the dogs. They had no rights. How discouraging then these third words of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet, despite those words of discouragement, look at the humility in her response. Truth, Lord. How many would have said, how dare you call me a dog? How dare you, the Saviour, as you say you are, refer to me in such derogatory language? She simply says, truth, Lord. What is such a stumbling block to many who come to Christ is the fact that the Word of God confronts us with the reality of our sin. How many presume that they have a right to God's favour? They think they have a claim upon his help and his acceptance. And when the scripture reveals to them their deep sinfulness and their wretchedness and their broken life and their secret sin, they are offended. If God is so demanding, then they say, I want nothing to do with such a God. Friends, this woman was so different. Truth, Lord, she says, it's true. My nation from which I come is a nation that has been steeped in idolatry and paganism. I am without claim, without right before thee. The Lord gave her a crumb of comfort, and excuse the pun there, because there are two words that were used to describe the dogs in the villages of Christ's day. One word described the wild dogs that roamed the streets and the countryside that no one had any interest in. Another word was used for the little dogs that came into the homes that were befriended, usually by the children, and fed under the table. And the Lord uses that second word, the dogs that were more endearing and that did come into the home. The Lord here seems to be giving her something upon which to latch hold in her prayer and in her pleading toward him. And so she says, true, Lord, but the little dogs do eat the crumbs. Oh, how great is her faith. Even a crumb from the table of the Lord would be sufficient to deliver her daughter from this vexation. Even a crumb from the Lord would be sufficient to satisfy her cry and her prayer. What faith she has in the Lord. What confidence. Just a crumb. So we see here that when she pleaded with such faith, she won the day. And the Lord then, having proved her, having drawn out by those interactions with her, the fullness and the richness of her faith, commends her for it. Not that it was hers, for by nature he had given that faith which she had now exercised. But he draws attention to it and then says, be it unto thee even as thou wilt. As we draw to conclusion, I want to think about three distinct aspects to this woman's faith that were displayed here, that are vital parts of faith if we seek the Lord for his help and salvation. Firstly, her faith was repentant faith. Spurgeon described repentance and faith as being like Siamese twins. You cannot separate them. Wherever there is true faith, a true regard for the Lord, there will always be genuine repentance. Sorrow for sin, a willingness to leave the world. And this woman displayed that repentance. She came out of her coasts. She turned to the Lord. She was one who was prepared to own herself in need of mercy, having nothing to commend her. Do you have that spirit as you call upon the Lord? Friends, this evening, if we seek the help of the Lord, we must come with that repentance within. A sorrow for our sin. A grief over our continued stumbling into sinful things. A readiness to be done with sin. A willingness to walk in the Lord's ways. Repentant faith. Maybe the Lord is silent because he seeks to establish whether you have come to that point where you not only believe in him and desire his salvation, but you're ready to be done with sin. Secondly, we see here that her faith was humble faith. Even discouraged, she just casts herself down at the feet of Christ, placing herself at his mercy, submitting to his sovereign will. We need such faith, friends, if we would seek the Lord and know his blessing. But lastly, we see that her faith was persistent. It was earnest, but it was not easily discouraged. She was not discouraged by the apparent silence of the Lord. She was not discouraged by these words that seemed to dismiss any claim she had upon him. And she was not discouraged, thirdly, by these words that pointed out her complete unworthiness and lack of claim upon his grace and help. What persistence we see here, and that persistent faith won the day. If you're seeking the Lord this evening, but you've not yet truly experienced within that assurance that the Lord has forgiven you, that realization that your life is anew, that your character is changed, that the Lord has broken the power of sin in your life, then press on. Don't give up. Learn from this woman. The Lord's apparent silence was indeed only that. He knew, he noted, and before long, he would speak that word of kindness. And so he will to every seeker that comes to him in the way that this woman of Canaan did, an outsider who found the riches of his grace. May the Lord bless us each through these words. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank thee for the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the wisdom with which he dealt with this needy woman, how she would have thanked him for dealing with her as she did, so that she understood the whole way of salvation. O Lord, help us and draw near to us. Grant that each and every one of us here this evening may discover the riches of thy grace. May we prove in a personal way and by real experience in our lives the power of Christ to change us and to deliver us from sin and to fit us for heaven. We ask in his name. Amen.